Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the $610 million fine levied against the Royal Bank of Scotland for rigging the LIBOR rate, most of which will be paid to US regulators and the Department of Justice. Bartlett Naylor, the former Chief of Investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, joins us to discuss why the government is able to claw back money from banks for criminal behavior, but at the same time, no bankers go to jail. Then we'll look into U.S. and Israeli efforts to get the Europeans to designate Hezbollah as a terrorist organization following the Bulgarian inquiry that found Hezbollah guilty of a bus bombing that killed Israeli tourists. A former CIA officer who spent decades operating against Hezbollah, Robert Baer, joins us to discuss the role of Iran in these tit-for-tat assassinations and terrorist acts that are likely to escalate as Iran and Hezbollah face a defeat in Syria. Then finally, we will speak with a State Department Middle East veteran who served in Tunisia to get an update on the killing of a secular leftist opposition leader whose assassination has led to the ruling Islamist government dissolving parliament and calling for speedy new elections. Ambassador David Mack, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Middle East Affairs, joins us to discuss the secular religious divide erupting in Tunisia, Egypt, and Israel. Joining us now is Bartlett Naylor, the Financial Policy Advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the Principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as Chief of Investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bartlett Naylor.
Thanks very much for having me.
And we just learned that the Royal Bank of Scotland is paying a $610 million fine, a little under $500 million of which goes to U.S. regulators in the Department of Justice. And this is following a fine last year that Barclays paid £300 million, about $500 million, I guess. And the Swiss bank UBS is going to have to pay out £940 million, which is what, $1.8 billion, I think, for their manipulation of the LIBOR exchange. So it seems that the banks that are too big to fail are willing to turn over money, but they're not willing to turn over their bankers who appear to be too big to jail.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And this is certainly, it's not difficult to imagine why a bank doesn't want to turn itself in. An American taxpayer has to be concerned why our Justice Department isn't more zealous in holding these bankers personally accountable.
So what is the explanation? Because the PBS Frontline did an investigation recently called The Untouchables, which is basically left you wondering why it is. And one of the people that was most featured in this was Lenny Brewer, the Assistant Attorney General in charge of prosecuting Wall Street. And he was, shall I say, lacking in credibility. His reasons why nobody had gone to jail were pretty pathetic. And he's left now. Now, shortly after he's left, the Justice Department have announced that they're now going after Standard & Poor's, the rating agency that kept saying all of these liar's loans and fraudulent mortgage packages that Wall Street were putting together. They were rating them AAA, so there's no doubt about their culpability. Is there a connection there? Is the Justice Department responding, do you think, to the frontline investigation?
Technically, Brewer isn't gone. In fact, you'll see him in the press statements about RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland settlement and so forth. He is leaving. While it's convenient to say that the frontline comes out and undermines his credibility, we can go into that in more detail if you like, and then he leaves. It looks like cause and effect, but I don't know that that is the case. Presumably, he's going to go make a lot of money defending white-collar criminals at a private law firm. But I think it is the case that the Justice Department has not been zealous. It has not attempted to collect the appropriate evidence from in white-collar crime episodes. This is not my opinion. Neil Barofsky wrote this in a book. He had to convince Department of Justice people to bring criminal prosecutions for financial fraud. The only people that really have gone to jail that have anything to do with the financial crisis are people that he had to talk justice into indicting. They had to do with Colonial Bank in the South, which he claimed fraudulently requested TARP money when the bank was basically going out of business.
So what's your hunch then? I mean, I was left thinking after, and I interviewed the filmmaker of the Frontline special, The Untouchables, Martin Smith, and I was sort of left wondering, you know, it felt to me like the fix was in somewhere. Is that your impression?
Right. I think that's right. I think the fix is in. Who made the fix is unclear. If it was Eric Holder or Lanny Brewer himself, or it came from higher up, if there was some sort of understanding that while the financial system is so fragile, we can't send them to jail, I really don't know. But it is a fact that the number of criminal referrals, suspicious activity reports coming out of the controller of the currency, were nil compared to just normal times. They went down, you know, from down to zero, frankly, in the last few years. So people just haven't been, in my opinion, doing their job. There has you'll hear from experts such as Bill Black, who is now a University of Missouri professor, but was at the tip of the spear when the government sent 1,000 people to jail during the SNL crisis, but that stemmed from 30,000 suspicious activity reports, that there was a machinery, there was an apparatus of human beings that were trained at the financial regulators to understand what it takes to bring a criminal case, and then there would be FBI or Department of Justice attorneys who were seconded to these prudential bank regulators, and they spoke the same language. They knew what they needed to prove in court. There were training sessions, and with this machinery, with this apparatus, they were able to bring 1,000 people and put them behind bars. That doesn't exist today.
Again, I'm speaking with Bartlett Naylor, who is the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. Now, could somebody in your old job as the Chief of Investigations for the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, would they have the ability to do current criminal referrals, or could they lean on the control of the currency? I mean,
well, yes, and in a sense they have. A committee that was created after my time, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, has done a number of very fine pieces of work. One was a lengthy probe into Goldman Sachs that led to a 1,000-page report that dissected the Abacus deal. This is where allegedly Goldman Sachs intentionally created a security it knew would fail, then sold it to its own clients, and then itself bet against, made money through its failure by essentially betting against its own clients. That they basically handed the evidence over to the Department of Justice, which settled with Goldman Sachs. No human beings, with one major exception, seem to be culpable in this, and that is a fairly low-level employee named Fabrice Touré. Then again, that same subcommittee did a year-long investigation that led to a hearing and a 400-page document detailing the money laundering violations of HSBC. This is the world's third largest bank, the world's fifth largest company. More than $200 trillion worth of transactions went through HSBC in countries known to be, if you will, high risk. Let me just repeat that because it's a mind-numbing number. $200 trillion worth of transactions coming from countries known to engage and funnel terrorist money, drug money, and so forth. And HSBC, after that, has admitted with the government in a so-called non-prosecution agreement that, in fact, $800 million was actually drug money coming out of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. And what is frustrating, though, is that there are no human beings that are named as responsible for laundering $200 trillion worth of money. And while we laud the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations for this report, we have to be more than jaundiced that Lanny Brewer of the Department of Justice said he's not going to bring essentially the death penalty against HSBC or even apparently name individuals as liable because the bank is, in my words, or the words of observers, too big to jail. In his words, it would have systemic repercussions.
Well, but Naylor, just in terms of that HSBC fine, it is Europe's largest bank, and it laundered $880 million in Mexican and Colombian drug cartel money, often driving the cash over the U.S. border in their own armored cars, and yet they got a deferred prosecution. I mean, I think that at some point or other, what's at stake here is the American people's understanding of justice itself, whether it is, in fact, blind and we can believe in equal justice under the law.
There is a woman that 2 weeks ago was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Her name is Karen Gasparian, and she was a manager for a check cashing company that's in the Los Angeles area. And she failed to fill out the paperwork for people that brought in cash and then were making money transfers that you need to do if you're bringing in more than $10,000 and so forth. And the judge found her guilty of violating the money laundering requirement for that $8 million in cash that had come in over a period of time, 5 years in jail. Well, nobody at HSBC is facing jail time for the $200 trillion worth of transactions that they failed to fill out the appropriate forms for. And as you pointed out, the $800 million in actual drug money that got laundered. The Sinaloa cartel actually had a certain size of box that fit through the teller windows at the HSBC affiliate in Mexico. You know, it was tailored. That was their bank. The go-to bank for money laundering was that one, and they had boxes made to stick the cash in because it fit right under that little teller window.
So, Bartlett Naylor, the fine that the Royal Bank of Scotland just had to pay, $610 million U.S., excuse me, it's the Royal Bank of Scotland, of course, is 81% owned by the British taxpayers, and apparently this money is being clawed back from bonuses already paid and reductions in future bonuses. And, of course, this is for rigging the LIBOR rate, which is the London Interbank Offered Rate, the rate at which banks in London lend money to each other for the short term in various currencies. And at the time when we found out that the LIBOR rate was rigged, I mean, that was a come-to-Jesus moment for a lot of people. They didn't really think that that was possible, that you could actually, you know, I mean, we've heard of, rigging sports games, and this would be like finding out that all the Super Bowls have been rigged, you know?
Yes. And again, for our listeners, two issues are... The first one is, when you assess the fine, who is paying that fine? You mentioned that 80% of RBS is owned by the British government. But in any fine, who is paying for it is the shareholder, and they have themselves been defrauded. That is to say, at S&P or at HSBC, et cetera, they bought this stock based on the representations that the company made. They didn't say, hey, here's how we're really making the money. We're ripping off, you know, we're doing massive money laundering, or we're rigging LIBOR. That's how we're you know, adding to our money. So the shareholder is, if you will, innocent, and yet when you fine a company, what you're doing is saying, shareholders, you need to pay. And those shareholders are school teachers in Idaho and nurses in California and carpenters in Massachusetts. That's the person who's truly paying, whereas the person who did the thing in these non-prosecution agreements and these civil suits is facing no true accountability. The other thing is, you mentioned that the rigging is, you know, that they've rigged the Super Bowl. There's some Silicon Valley guy that turns the lights out at the Super Bowl and to change the momentum around. If you read the emails on the LIBOR, which are on the government's website, it's go to cftc.gov or Google cftc.gov in the RBS. These emails between the traders fixing LIBOR will completely unsettle any sense of faith that people might have had in the financial system or in these traders. They are talking about fixing it as if you're turning on and off the lights.
Sure. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of...
They use a colorful language.
Sure. Well, also, those messages, which I recommend people read, prove that these bankers, their handsome compensation are not linked to high levels of intelligence. I thank you for joining us, Bartlett Naylor.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as the chief of investigations for the United States Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about a CIA officer who targeted Hezbollah for decades.
Get from out the road when he get dough, it's horrible. Time is money, spend, waste, save, invest, affest. The 10K, so cave a chicken chest, S. Yes, y'all are dumb and get your trickles. The best ballers pitch in and rub to get a nickels. But tut tut, he about to change the price again. It go up each time, he blow up like hydrogen. Villain here, albums shrilling in fear. It won't stop top bill until he a gazillionaire. Took a Jehovah money for an Arabic Torah. Charged in advance, translated and ignored us, sorta.